On the Bechdelcast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdelcast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdelcast. My name is Caitlin.
My name is Jamie.
I don't know. Why did I do that weird thing at the end?
I don't know. I wanted to match you, though.
I love... We're so on the same page.
Love ya.
Love you.
Love ya.
Well, here we are talking about women in movies.
Once again.
Once again.
What, the 30th time? I mean, we've been doing it for a while.
I know. I'm so proud of us.
You know what? It's a good thing for structure. It's a good thing for our friendship. It's a good thing for our friendship with Aristotle. It's a good thing for, you know.
Making new friendships.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, man. Can we introduce our guest? I'm really excited to have you.
Yes.
Really?
Sure can.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Man, sometimes it's like when we're looking for guests for the show, we're like, okay, who's super funny? Who do we have a friend crush on? And then let's just make it so.
So our guest today, she has been a writer for College Humor, MTV, Disney, and she has a show coming out on IFC, which she is the star and creator of, called Neurotica, Jenny Jaffe.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi. I can't tell you how many times I've considered starting a podcast with the express purpose of making friends in LA. And I think that's kind of a hacky move, but at the same time...
it does work.
Yeah.
It does. So far, so good.
I mean, everybody out here like just wants to be on podcasts, right?
I mean, I've been having a rough week with Los Angeles, the city that I'm still not sure if I like or not,
mm-hmm.
where it's just everyone's always around, you know, like everyone's like, oh, I can do a podcast at 2 p.m. because so few people have regular jobs.
I think that's why I'm not making the friends, though, is because all the people I would be friends with are doing shows at night, which is the only time I'm free.
Right, because you have a day job.
Right.
Right.
So, or the other thing is I'll be like, come by and get lunch at the studio or something. Like, mm-hmm. that's the only other way I can
Well, you should go
see anyone.
Draw, you can go to those shows that the people are on and then be like, hey, I thought you were funny.
That's true. I'm a very bad comedy audience, though.
Yeah, and then you have to go to a show.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The problem.
I do like going to shows. I obviously I like comedy a whole lot, but the problem is like if I don't like something, I have absolutely no ability to pretend that I do.
It
is all over my face, and if it's a new friendship and I don't think they're funny, I won't be able to hide it.
Yeah.
It's something I need to work on, really. I just don't have a poker face.
Man, I mean, but that's a good problem to have. You're honest.
There's also just more bad comedy shows in the world than there are good comedy shows.
Oh, boy. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
You really do roll the dice. I started doing comedy so that I would stop hiding from people. And then so I would have to be around people at night because I'm not a... Caitlin, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not a party gal.
What?
I don't go to parties. I think the one time I showed up at a party, you were bowled over. And I was too, and I left pretty quickly.
The secret to parties is if you come for 20 minutes, people will remember that you're there, and they'll never remember that you left.
Exactly. And you, oh man, Caitlin's better at parties than I am. I just can't.
I'm a social butterfly.
But you're good at it. You do a good job.
Thank you.
Sometimes I'll show up, and then it's like, but now I'm not talking to anybody.
We should talk about the movie.
Yeah.
That we're here to talk about.
Yeah. We watched it together this week.
Yes. We're watching more and more movies together. I love
it. That's so nice. Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Aristotle
couldn't make it to this one, but
it's fine.
Have you seen this movie, though, Aristotle? Oh, good. Okay. He's giving a big nod.
Yeah. That was an emphatic nod. Yeah.
We're talking about Mean Girls. Jenny, when did you first see the movie?
It came out when I was 14, which was like the perfect age.
Perfect, yeah.
And, my class in middle and high school, I went to school with basically the same kids for 7 years, was notorious for being a class of very mean girls.
Really?
Yeah. In seventh grade, one girl told all the rest of the other girls not to talk to me for a year, and they all listened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I had some, like, horrible bullying stories. And she asked me to, like, retweet her Kickstarter at one point, so we're all good. I shouldn't say that. Maybe I should.
No.
Nobody is listening.
We have millions of listeners on our podcast.
Including everyone's high school bully following.
This is all to say that, like, So when it came out in eighth grade, like, one of the moms of one of the girls, like, sent out an email being like, we should all go see this movie. Like, all the girls should go see this movie. And I think I, like, didn't go because I was too nervous to be around those girls any more than I had to be. So it was a very timely movie for me. And here's, like, maybe the thing I remember most about it is that when I went to go see it, it was the first time I had seen the Fandango Bollywood bag puppet ad. Do you guys remember
this? Yeah.
And it was the hardest I think I've ever laughed at anything. I was like, this is so funny.
This is comedy.
And this is what it means to be a comedian. So I laughed about that through like half the movie, which is a great movie and it's super funny anyway. But like for some reason, just the fact they were bag puppets.
Yeah.
Was very appealing.
I really liked it. Yeah, I remember.
But that's what I remember about the actual viewing experience.
Fond memes. I didn't see this movie in theaters. I think I was 11 when this movie came out. And all the moms at our church youth group, they were like, oh, we're gonna teach the girls to respect each other, you know, and all this stuff. And I was sort of fortunate to go to a high school. Middle school was tough for me because I wore a back brace. And so, you know, there's no getting around that. But my high school was so huge that bullying wasn't really a problem because you could, you know, someone might bully you a single time and then you wouldn't see them for weeks.
Wow.
And then they would forget because there were 6,000 kids there.
Holy shit.
I had 140 kids.
Yeah, the smaller the high school, it's the worse it is. But yeah, I just didn't know most of the kids at my high school and they had no idea who I was. So even if it was like, oh, back brace girl, but then, you know, it was new for them every time. They were just like, who's this freak?
And then we're back brace girl.
Yeah. How many back brace freaks go to this school? So it was fine. And we were sorted into buildings like Harry Potter.
Whoa.
And that's a true thing about my high school.
You really?
There are four different buildings and you got put in one your freshman year at random. No sorting ceremony.
What was yours called?
In the Azure building.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in Brockton, Massachusetts. It's a shithole in southern Massachusetts. And there was the red, yellow, green, and Azure for some reason, not blue, Azure. And the stereotypes were like Azure was for like brainy losers and red was for
so
like
Ravenclaw.
Yeah, well red was like well-adjusted, cool people.
Gryffindors, yeah.
Yellow was for like idiots and
Hufflepuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then green was for the rest.
Slytherin.
Wow, that's really amazing how that works out.
All it did was affect your cafeteria and like where you ate and had homeroom, mm-hmm. but you were sorted. Anyways, I saw this movie when I was 11 with my church group. I think I was a little bit too young for it then, but I liked it. I wish I'd seen it in theaters though.
I don't remember if I saw it in theaters or not, but it came out like a couple weeks before I graduated high school. Mm. And I don't remember if I saw it right away or if it was maybe within the next like year after that. But I saw it pretty soon after it came out. And then I was like, oh my God, this is the best movie ever. And then I bought it on DVD. And then everyone else is like, this is the best movie ever. And then I was like, well, fine. And then I
Caitlin's not like the other girls.
And then I forgot about it, kind of. Or I sort of outgrew it. And now I have some thoughts, which we will talk about.
Oh, you're not a fan?
Not anymore, I don't
really
think.
Really? I wasn't getting that read from you when we were watching it.
Well, I'm very difficult to read. Unlike you, oh Jenny, God. I have a very good poker face.
You've got exclusively a poker face.
Yeah, in that I don't emote any emotions. I'm just a weird robot. I am Caitlin, the robot.
I over-emote.
I know. We need to balance each other out.
I know.
I wish we could, like, hold hands and, like, some of your emotions could leech into my body.
I would love for you to take some.
There's too many. And I don't have enough. So, anyway, how about the recap?
Let's do it.
So, Mean Girls focuses on a character named Katie Heron, played by Lindsay Lohan. She moves to a new school in Michigan where she's going to go to school for the first time.
It's in Evanston, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. Illinois. Yeah. My bad.
Evanston's a cool little place.
Yeah, it is a cool place.
Yeah.
I did the Northwestern College program. I got to be there for a summer, and the coolest thing about it to me was that it was where Katie Heron lived.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I'm dumb at states. Anyway,
we're mad.
so she moves to a new school And she has never been to, like, public school before. She's only been homeschooled because her parents were research zoologists in Africa. So she's like, oh, my God, I'm in a new school. I don't know how to be a person. So she meets a couple friends, Janice Ian and Damien, and they're like, we're going to be friends with you, and we're going to teach you the lay of the land. And then she meets the Plastics, which is this group of three young women who are mean girls. Hey, that's the name of the movie.
Yep.
And Janice has some beef with the queen bee of the Plastics, Regina George. Regina, like, sort of takes a liking to Katie. So Janice is like, hey, you should, like, hang out with Regina and pretend to, like, be her friend. And then we can, like, dish on all the stupid stuff that they say. But things get a little out of hand. Katie sort of becomes one of the Plastics herself. And then she has some lessons to learn, some friendships to repair. There's a boy that she has a crush on. Aaron Samuels.
That's where the October 4th joke comes from, right? Or is it October
14th?
Because the other Lindsay Lohan October thing is October 11th.
Your birthday's
11th.
On October 11th?
My birthday's on October 11th. And then they put the picture together. We should do that movie.
The Parent Trap?
Yeah.
Hallie, we're like sisters.
Oh, my God.
We're like twins.
And then they cry and hug. Oh, my gosh.
That movie definitely passes the Bechdel test.
That movie, yeah, with flying colors, Lindsay Lohan and herself have a million
scenes. Does it count, though, if it's the same woman talking to herself, though?
It does. And then there's Chessie.
There's also Chessie, yeah.
Chessie's awesome. And then Natasha Richardson is a
goddess. Dennis Quaid in it?
Mm-hmm. He's her dad. And then there's
Meredith.
Meredith is supposed to be 26 in it,
which
makes me upset.
That is crazy. Ugh.
She was an old lady.
Does that mean we can date Dennis Quaid? Is that a sliding scale?
Dennis Quaid.
I've been dating Randy Quaid. I want to be Quaid adjacent.
Mm, sure. So yeah, that's pretty much the story.
Oh, geez. I just got sucked up in Parent Trap 98. So
right.
Good.
Oh yeah. Well. Going back to Mean Girls. Katie, she becomes a mean girl herself, and then Miss Norberry, aka Tina Fey, is like, you guys have to learn how to be better to each other. And then everyone sort of makes up at the end, and there's a spring fling dance, there's a mathlete competition.
Regina George is hit by a bus.
By the way.
And one of my favorite plot twists.
Yeah. Oh, so I
out of nowhere
suffer that stupid thing.
I do like that they got away with it.
Did
like, what a crazy thing to have to be like, and then she gets hit by a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you know what? We're going to trust you with this one.
Yeah.
It just feels like a prank that someone got away with.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably Tina Fey.
Right. By the way, I was a mathlete in high school.
Kaylin, did you have a jacket?
I didn't have a jacket. Mm. We only did, I think, like two or three competitions that I was a part of.
Think we had mathletes at my school.
Well, your school might have been cooler than mine.
Maybe. It was kind of like Hogwarts.
Right. Did you have a headmaster named Dumbledore?
We had a principal named Dr. Zakowicz.
Same thing.
She was pretty cool.
Cool. Oh, I like that she was a woman.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and her husband was a history teacher. So she had a very nice beta husband who was like, my wife is dope. Good role models.
I love a good beta husband.
I love beta males. Gimme. Where are they?
Yeah.
They're everywhere, but they're just quiet.
Mine's downstairs.
You gotta find them. Your beta male's downstairs. Man, I think that I've skewed to alpha recently, and I've gotta be like, where? You gotta be sneaky.
Uh-huh.
You gotta sneak up on them. They spook easy. But if you bring your net, you'll be okay.
You can trap them.
You can do it. And then you say, okay, now I'm gonna fix you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the the story of Mean Girls. Let me just start by saying that I have okay, so it's not that I hate the movie, but I definitely don't think it's aged well, and I think it's pretty problematic, and I experience it the same way that I experienced Heather's, which we talked about on an earlier episode, where it's like, okay, great, it's a movie about women, but a lot of them hate each other and they say horrible things to each other, and it portrays women in this like very catty, competitive way where they're really mean and awful to each other. And I just want everyone to get along. I just want a movie where everyone gets along, like, and there's no conflict. No, I'm kidding.
Like, that was very much my experience of the women I knew when I was sort of in my early teens, is that it is very competitive. People don't get along. Like, it was, and I don't think that's the case necessarily. I think that it's a bad stereotype about women that that's how it always is. And that I think as you get older, I think that you start to realize, like, oh, like, these are my allies and these are, like, the people who I care about. And, like, some of the competition dies down. And then I think it's like what happens is you realize that you've been pitted against each other at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you're like, oh, fuck all y'all. I'm going to be with women.
Right.
Men, like, are going to have to earn my trust, not the other way around.
Together. Yeah.
And, like, that was what happened to me, was, like, I felt like there were a bunch of women that I felt really distant from. And I was like, oh, it's because, like, the men in my life are douchebags. And I think that's sort of what happens at some point, is you, like, realize how much a society mm-hmm. is built on making you feel competitive with other women.
Sure.
Especially when you're in, like, the industry and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, where there's days where it still feels that way. And I don't know. I guess for me, this is sort of like portraying, like, I think it's a pretty, you know, it's obviously it's a movie, but it, in terms of portraying something sort of close to what it could actually look like in real life, is important to get people to relate. Because I feel like if we just have a movie where, you know, like, women are totally supporting each other and getting along,
doesn't make for an interesting movie.
Not
one.
That interesting. But then also, like, I don't know, like, if it was a movie about teenage boys not getting along, would we have a problem with it? Probably not. I don't know. I've got a specific piece stuck in my head right now that I read this morning in Harper's Bazaar by Jennifer Wright, who's a writer I really like, about how, like, the idea of feminism is getting conflated with all women having to like each other, and what a Stepford Wivesy kind of environment that encourages, where it's like, you don't have to like other women. You can think other women are stupid and wrong, and, you know, the way you could think men are stupid and wrong, you just need to respect them on a basic level, believe that they have the same rights that you do, and you're still, like, I don't know, like, being a woman who's a feminist doesn't mean that you can't have a negative opinion of another woman, especially if what they're doing sucks, like, yeah, to you, or doesn't match up with your values or whatever. So that's, I haven't, like, fully processed it, but it's, yeah, something that I was thinking about in relation to this movie, of, like, it makes sense that a lot of the characters in this movie would be pitted against each other.
Sure. And yeah, I don't think it's, like, portraying anything unrealistic or things that don't happen, because, yeah, these things, like, a lot of women this age do treat each other this way. There's no doubt about it. Could we argue that maybe one of the reasons that, like, women feel that they're pitted against each other, or that they feel they needed to be competitive and mean to each other, are movies like this that perpetuate the stereotype? Could we argue that? Maybe not. Maybe so. I don't know.
I don't know. But, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, when you guys saw this movie for the first time, which character resonated with you the most?
I would say probably Janice Ian.
Yeah, me too, I think, of the sort of othered.
I was the
person.
Girl who said that Regina George punched her in the face. Like, the thing is, like, I wasn't even at a level where I thought I could even try to be popular. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nor would I want to. Like, I just wanted to die for most of high school. But that's, like, a thing. That's this whole separate story. Like, I just did. But it wasn't, like, a motivating factor for me.
Sure.
But I really liked this, I guess, idea of, like, a world where there was redemption possible for whatever this was, or there was some way to heal, or through, like, my high school. Like, it was weird because, like, I went through all of high school where I was like, yeah, all the movies are correct. Like, this high school is, like, terrible, and there's, like, a couple of kids who are, like, ridiculously popular and attractive and all this stuff. Like, that's how every high school is. I don't have friends. That's normal. And then I got out of my, I went to a very small, very preppy high school. Like, we got mentioned on the OC. Like, that's the level of preppy that my high school was. And because we were known for having cocaine dealers. Like, we were really...
You went to a coke high school?
Really preppy, really rich, like, really...
What area?
I grew up in Silicon Valley.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
I hated my high school. I hated high school.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, like, to be fair, don't know I would have liked any high school because I was just going through a lot of issues at the time.
Sure.
But, like, when I graduated and, like, talked to people who had gone to anywhere fucking else but my high school, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I only thought my high school was normal because high schools on TV seemed like that, too. Like, because, like...
Interesting. Okay.
So there is an aspect of it to that I think might be reinforcing, but it was also really reflective of my experience, mm-hmm. which was, like, the weirdest little insular bubble.
I think, I mean, part of the reason this movie I don't think has ever bothered me is because I don't think I've ever seen a movie that reminded me of my high school experience.
And including this one?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so for me, it's, like, entertainment... High school in entertainment and high school in the way I experienced it, which wasn't great. And it wasn't, you know, there was a lot of problems, but it just seemed so separate that it never even, like, I don't even think I really tried to relate with it that much because I was like, oh, well, you know, everyone knows each other at this high school. So like,
hey, here's the thing about Mean Girls and my high school experience. That's totally separate, but maybe interesting. So when I was in high school, I should have mentioned in like my credit. So I founded a mental health nonprofit and I spent 2 years out of the comedy world sort of like doing that.
Oh, that's great. Wonderful.
And I have talked a lot about my mental health stuff and that sort of thing. But one thing was in high school, I was in really intense exposure therapy for this like all-encompassing fear of throwing up.
No kidding.
And part of this therapy was that they handed me a list at the beginning of the thing where I had to watch movies that included scenes of somebody throwing up. Guess what Mean Girls has? Twice.
Oh,
is
wow.
Mention of vomit. And I know exactly where it is because I always get nervous when that part comes on, even to this day, just because like it's like a old reaction.
Sure.
But so I watched Mean Girls a lot because it was a movie I loved that also had a scene with puking in it.
Right, because Katie throws up on, like, Aaron Samuel's lap.
Right, which is, like, a really tough scene for me yeah. for, like, lots of reasons. But, like, yeah, so that's an interesting sort of... I know, like, where every movie...
That's fascinating.
...has
yeah.
a puke scene. I had to mentally clock it. And To Things I Hate About You has one, too, which is another movie that I had mentioned right. loving at this age.
Yeah.
My most memorable puke scene is from Team America World Police.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
The puppet just, yeah. It's great.
That's yeah. Exposure therapy is, man, we should talk about that off because I went through exposure therapy last year. And
we should definitely talk about this.
Yeah. It's holy fuck. Like I still, man, what a fun adventure.
Maybe I need exposure therapy for feelings because I'm so afraid of them.
I mean, just regular therapy is the best thing for that.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone should be in therapy.
I agree.
Yes, mental health therapy.
I finally got insurance back. It takes 6 months through the Animation Guild, working in the Animation Guild to get insurance through them, which is crazy.
I'm just
so Monday it kicked in.
Congratulations. Thank you. I am just starting on Medicaid. Unfortunately for my therapist, because I met him like in the ER and he was like, I am yours now. And, like diagnosed me with OCD and bipolar and all this stuff I really needed and didn't know. And so now I'm like, I never want to leave him because I feel like you saved my life, but also no insurance covers him. So it's just this thing where the American health system is terrible and steadily getting worse. And what are you going to do? I'm never going to leave him. I'll go into debt. I don't care.
I think that therapy should be free the way that, like, you can get free books at the library. I don't know why that's not just a social service that we have.
Because we don't value mental health on the
oh,
same
right,
level
that's
as
why.
Physical health.
Yep. Right.
And we barely value physical health.
Yep, not
say,
very much. Especially, oh, are you a woman? Do you have a pre-existing condition? Too bad. Go and die. That's what the Republicans say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Okay, wait. Let's go back.
Yeah. Mean Girls.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, a few things. One of the few reasons this movie does not hold up very well. The word retarded gets said 3 different times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, ooh.
That's a very 04. I mean, that's another thing where I'm in no way justifying that. But if we're kicking it to 04, that, I mean, at least in my experience, that was dropped quite a bit.
Yeah.
In pop culture and in my middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable the amount of sensitivity we have acquired as a culture since the Bush administration. And yeah. like, it's, I know it's like dropped off precipitously with the rise of actual fucking Nazis, but like, there is also, it's pretty, it's cool. Like, legitimately, there are a lot of kind of like weird gender jokes and stuff in this movie that I don't think would have been made now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, whenever like Janice is going through the cafeteria and being like, here's where all the cliques sit, and she's like, this is where the girls who eat their feelings sit, and here's the girls who don't eat anything, basically like body shaming women, mental illness shaming other women, and then like all these different like racial stereotypes.
There's
and,
yeah, there's a lot of jokes about Asian people. There's mm-hmm. There's gay jokes at Damien's expense. Like, there's a lot of
yeah
stuff. I would need to, it's a hard thing because, and I'm not trying to say that any of this is, like, okay, but that if we're talking about how people talk about each other in high school, that doesn't, that's not incredibly unusual.
True.
Where I think of some of the words that were thrown at me in high school, and it's like, well, you know, this movie is only, what, PG-13, so you couldn't say, hey, there's the girl with the oboe up her asshole.
That, yeah, I got a lot
forget.
Of
never forget.
I got a lot Ooh. Of lesbo, and I was like, "Yeah, well, you're half right." But yeah, just you know, it's like I think just stuff that it's partially 2004, and it's partially stuff that just kids in high school say, and then like there's a tiny part that's problematic fave Tina Fey, who I love, even though I think she has some really huge blind spots when it comes to especially talking about race.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think she has net put more good into the world than bad.
Totally.
But really, really tough listening to her defend certain choices she's made and things she's written. And
The Native American storyline in Kimmy
Schmidt. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about, too.
Well, I think her character, Miss Norberry, is poised as being, like, this wise woman who, like, she's an ally and she's going to give you all the answers on how to treat each other better as women, but I would argue that she is the most problematic character of them all, and let me explain why.
Go for it.
There's a few scenes where she is talking to a character, usually Katie, and being like, hey, here's a reason that you should do this, and the reasons are always problematic. For example, she's trying to get Katie to join the Mathletes, and she's like, yeah, we'd love to have a girl on the team so that the team could meet a girl. Not because women need to be represented in mathematics, not because it would be good for Katie or because she's good at math.
Really quick, women in STEM.
Women in STEM, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's so that the boys on the team could have a chance to interact with a woman. That was her reasoning for Katie joining the math.
I felt like though, she was joking because she's a female math teacher. Like, surely she has.
Yes, but then it keeps happening. Another scene, whenever she's like, you girls, toward the end when they're all in the gymnasium, You've got to stop calling each other sluts and whores because that just makes it okay for guys to call you sluts and whores. But like, so the reason she's giving is always like how these women, like their experiences related to men. Because she doesn't say, oh, it's because slut shaming is wrong and you should like be building each other up rather than tearing each other down. Like there's that. And then finally, during the Mathlete competition, whenever their two teams are about to go up against each other, Miss Norberry goes up to Katie and is like, you can do this. There's nothing to break your focus because not one of those Marymount boys is cute. Again, bringing her experience back to like how it relates to men. She didn't say, oh, you can do this because you're good at math or because you've prepared a lot for this. Like, it just bothered me that all the reasons she kept giving for different things were like, it's how your experience relates to men in some way. Right. So it bothered me.
I get
but
that.
But maybe I'm being nitpicky.
No, I think that those are valid points. I don't know. I mean, the thing that always bothers me about, especially like mid-aughts Tina Fey characters, early Liz Lemon, is just like, Tina Fey, stop pretending that you look like shit. You don't look like shit. You look great. Stop it. Like the whole for where she's like, I'm not that cute. I do math. I'm not that cute. It's like, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
Calm down. I don't know. A lot of what she said for sure is in reference to men, but also seemed clearly communicated as a joke or a lead into a visual, like the Marymount Boys, and it cuts to.
I thought that in particular was because Katie had broken her focus through the whole semester because of Aaron Samuels. So I thought
that's true, in particular.
Was just her saying, like, well, you don't got an Aaron Samuels here, so. So, like.
And her character dealt with that the Aaron Samuels thing pretty well, yeah? In terms of calling her out, or, the scene where she's like, well, it's weird because all your work is correct, but only the answers
are and she's
wrong.
Like, you don't have to dumb yourself down to, like, impress guys.
Impress a guy, yeah.
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 I mean, she still is the most problematic character. Like, she right off the bat assumes that the black girl in class is
yes.
Right.
Who is from Michigan.
Oh, right. Maybe that's where I'm from.
Is the African girl. But, yeah, I'm not saying, I don't think your reads are wrong. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
Again,
I think in the context of the movie, they're not, like, the most problematic things about the movie, even though the movie does have a lot of problematic things.
Yeah.
I mean, doing this podcast has basically ruined me. I'm now, like, this, like, oh, this movie isn't fucking perfect. Like, I could be more.
It's ripping off a Band-Aid a lot.
Well, I don't know if that's, I mean, I think this is, like, one of the places that we've come to. And, like, I don't even know that slut-shaming was a concept in 2004 that people were familiar with.
I don't think we gave it a name, at least. I mean, it was happening, but we weren't, like, identifying it as, like, oh, this is what
you're
doing.
There were sluts, but there was not the concept of shaming yet.
Well, people were slut-shaming, but we didn't have a word for it.
There wasn't language.
We weren't saying, like, you shouldn't do this because that's problematic.
Right.
What? 2004, I was getting slut-shamed every day. I'm kidding.
I was like, really? I don't know what, like, the closest to perfect in that regard movie is. I'd be interested to try and, because I think every movie has a pretty huge blind spot, because every person has a pretty huge blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, everybody messes up, and the only thing anybody can do is when they mess up, and when they're like, oh wow, I didn't even think about this blind spot that I had, you're right, and I will do better in the future, and like, then you just keep learning. And that's a place where I think Tina Fey's failed a little bit, but everybody gets to have a problematic fave, I think. And
yeah,
I think
she wrote the movie.
She's a good one.
Tina Fey, at least we have a women writer for this movie, and it was Tina Fey wrote it, and then she adapted it from the book by Rosalind Wiseman.
Mm-hmm. Which is such a cheesy book, but
I've never read it.
Queen Bees and Wannabes, that was a part of the whole church group deal, as you also had to read the book with your mom.
I remember, like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff like that where my mom was reading a lot of books like that, and I don't know how much they really helped her, because, like, the real issue for me in high school was mostly just making sure I didn't kill myself, so, like, I don't know how much any of those books ended up factoring into how she dealt with me.
Right.
But, like, I do know she watched, like, the movie, like, 13 and stuff, and I'm like, I'm not gonna lose my virginity for a solid 7 years, so right. you're cool.
Let's shift the focus a
right
little. Yeah, my mom didn't, I don't know, I think my mom was sort of just like, well, I realize things don't look too good. But my mom, what she tried to do, actually, which is kind of antithetical to the whole Mean Girls church group thing, was my mom actively tried to steer me into what she was in high school, which was a popular, well-liked gal.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'd really have to dig deep to figure out how I feel about it. But I guess that she did that with a small degree of success, where my interests were reading and playing the oboe, and I did ballet dancing, but usually I was wearing a back brace. And then my mom started being like, oh, you should join the drama club. You know, you should join the dance team. You should do this. You should do this. And she pushed me in a more conventional direction, which I wish she hadn't done. But also at the time, I listened. So I guess what I'm saying is my mom is my problematic fave. it's weird. Cause, and then you think, like, the generation before us was influenced by all this shit as well, and I don't know what the Mean Girls for their generation, that it just didn't exist.
Like, Rizzo.
Ooh, true.
Like Pink Ladies.
Yeah.
I don't from Greece. I need to rewatch that.
Yeah.
But I hate musicals.
There's... Oh, wow. hold on 1 second. Stop. Let me just chug the rest of this.
Okay. Stop that right
I
now.
I hate musicals. Let's and I hate The Lift from Dirty Dancing. That's right. I hate it all.
Joel Schumacher directed Femme of the Opera 2004.
And it's a terrible adaptation.
Oh, but it's
also a terrible musical. But I love it.
It's good.
I will have The Phantom talk with you like anytime.
Please. Okay.
It's
very
bad. It is mostly a movie about how to run an opera house poorly. Yeah. And then it has a couple of scenes
don't
of faith.
A business.
Wait, oh my God. Wait, are we? Yeah.
We should talk about it.
Spam me these unending trials.
I'm leaving. I quit.
No, no, no.
I don't want to be here.
Yes. Oh, and then I enjoy Patrick Wilson's interpretation of Raoul.
I do too. I think he's underrated. It's like, wow, Christine, do you want to marry the ugly murderer rapist or the handsome nice guy?
Who's actually a good actor.
Who is actually a solid actor and can sing. And she's still like, oh, this is...
Gerard Butler cannot hit the top note on Music of the Night. He can't
hit it.
It's
his one job.
No. It's so bad. Oh, okay. Sorry. That's our obligatory Joel Schumacher shout out.
That's
Schumacher
right.
shout out. Bechdel Cast fave. Schumacher shout
out. The only musical I like is... Team America World Police. Yeah, I'm going to keep mentioning it on this episode.
Well, it's got the best song ever, which is Pearl Harbor Sucks and I Love You.
Yeah, that's
which
a great song.
Such a good song, and I think about it all the time.
The montage song, love it. Even though they already did it in an earlier episode of South Park, fine. You can recycle your material, Trey Parker. And
well, have you seen Cannibal the Musical, and how do you feel about it?
I have not seen that, no.
It's brilliant. It's there. You'll probably like, if you like South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, and Team America, then it's a kind of a trilogy.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's got a lot of the same jokes. You see where a lot of, like, really early jokes came from. And
I'll watch it.
It's very delightful.
Cool.
Good guys.
Love them.
Friends of the cast.
What about Book of Mormon?
What's that?
What about Book of Mormon?
I haven't seen that either.
It's fantastic.
I don't have the money to go watch things on stage.
What you have to do is start writing for a clickbait website and then just be like, hey, I'll write about it. And then hopefully they forget.
Oh, cool.
That's why I've seen a lot of shows for a lot of years.
Hire me, BuzzFeed.
I did stand up on BuzzFeed once and, well, I'll put the link in the comments. It was an experience. I'm changed.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed changed.
I remember. I saw
BuzzFeed
it.
Changed. We haven't really talked about the plastics that much.
No, we haven't. So we've got Regina George.
Rachel McAdams kills it.
She
best.
Yes.
So good.
I agree
Crazy
with that.
Good.
That's, yeah.
Which is weird because I'm never particularly drawn to her in anything else. But she just like, I mean, all three plastics. And we were talking about this. I don't like Amanda Seyfried that much or Seyfried.
I never like her in anything.
No,
besides
but she's
this.
So, I forget it's her because I like it.
Yeah. She was in the Mamma Mia musical movie, which was
what a bummer.
Absolute. Well, I mean, it's not a great musical, but
no.
Like it's like
jukebox.
Yeah, it's a bad movie. And then Lacey Chabert, Eliza Thornberry as a Gretchen Wieners.
Gretchen is my favorite plastic.
Mine too.
I think Gretchen is the closest I could get to connecting with a plastic. Of she is.
Me too. She's showing up for the Jewish American princesses.
She is a subordinate, but she's also just as smart as her boss, as it were. And I have a real soft spot for Gretchen Wieners, especially when she does that speech about Julius Caesar and Brutus. That is where I come closest to feeling for her of like, oh, she just really wants. But also that's the makings of a monster. If you give that person power.
Right.
But she never gets it because it goes to Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's really good in this movie. This is like this and then she did Freaky Friday kind of in the same year. And then
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. We start to lose her.
Oh, right. Yep. Then we start to lose her.
And Barbie Fully Loaded. She's gone.
The Canyons is next.
Wait, what's that?
Oh, it's the movie she did with James Dean like 3 years ago.
Ooh.
The porn star.
Wait, I never
saw
that.
Who's, also a rapist.
Yeah, I was like, he's not a thing anymore. Man.
No, he's a bad person.
He's a bad man, yeah.
She did this movie, and the article that was, maybe it was in The New Yorker, I'm not sure, but a really fascinating article by somebody who basically, like, hung out on set and, like, watched this travesty unfold, and... I do feel for Lindsay Lohan. I think she's... I feel very bad for her.
She's a casualty.
Because she was... delightful in a lot of these. I thought she was very, very delightful in this movie.
She's talented. I think she's, yeah. And also I think that this is a, and this has nothing to do with feminism. However, so many people shine in their roles that you don't usually see them shine in. It's like, oh, this movie is very well written because there are so many actors that I'm very underwhelmed by in any other movie who I just, this part is written perfectly for them.
And then there's Amy Poehler, who's Amy Poehler just starting to peak. 30 Rock hadn't happened. Parks and Rec hadn't happened.
She's still on SNL at this point, I think.
Yeah, she's still on SNL. And Tim Meadows is great. Maybe the best part of the whole movie.
Tim Meadows.
His jokes, I think, rules. Are the best. When he's like, I'll keep you here all night. You can't keep him here past 4. I'll keep you here till 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the first, I have half a mind to cancel the dance. But we've already paid the DJ, so I'm not going to do that.
Just, and like,
it's perfect.
You don't have to give a speech. Most people just take the crown and walk off stage.
Also, just to objectify a man,
as we
great topless Tim Meadows scene, or maybe it's white.
Oh,
Peter
I think he
Tim
wears.
Meadows.
Yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
felt. It's close enough.
His arms.
Yeah, he's weirdly built for a comedian.
He's toned. Yeah, I'm just like, what? He's a toned man. He doesn't have to be because he's a comedian, but don't tell him.
Yeah.
Hopefully he stays that way forever.
Good looking guy.
Good looking man. Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not passing the Bechdel test.
Shout out to Tim. Listen, sometimes you've got to be like, this man who could be my father has a nice bod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important for us to objectify men now and then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is
Magic Mike.
A large part.
Magic Mike.
A large part of our podcast, honestly.
Oh,
because I want to rewatch Magic Mike.
Okay. I also want to rewatch. I watched the sequel. I haven't seen it either.
We should watch it.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Wait, I have a fun fact about the Chippendales. Can I say it really quick?
Please.
Okay, so first of all, friend of the cast, Sophia Benoit.
Love Sophia.
She's the best.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. Hope you're listening.
I say hi, too.
She saw the Chippendales not too long ago and was regaling me about all the amazing stunts. And I would, oh, God, I would love to see the Chippendales live, first of all. Second of all, to the inventor of the Chippendales, there was, oh, God, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, murdered Playboy model. I used to work at Playboy, so I knew a lot about this woman whose name I cannot currently remember. She was 20 years old when she was murdered. She was in a bunch of Bogdanovich movies, or in at least one.
Dorothy Stratton.
It's an amazing, it's a fascinating story. My favorite podcast, You Must Remember This, just did a really good episode.
I love You Must Remember This.
Yeah, she's the season finale of their Dead Blondes season. Anyways, she was murdered by her husband, who knew he was losing her to Peter Bogdanovich. In any case, her husband also invented the Chippendales, even Whoa. Though he died in a murder-suicide, and it was a horrible, horrible, horrible person. It came out later that he had invented the Chippendales and never gotten any credit for it.
Hmm. I would just like to say that my favorite podcast is the Bechdel Cast, and
sorry, You Must Remember This is a very good podcast.
I will
maybe
have
pause
to listen to it.
Listen to it. It's
the
extremely
the
good.
Joan Crawford Betty Davis
From
run.
So good.
Was that well? It was all about Joan Crawford, but then it had this like, who's a very fascinating person. There's
yes.
this, have you been watching Feud at all? I haven't,
yes.
but I need to.
Alfred
I love
Melina. Shout out.
Love a good Melina.
Beefcake.
Look, I love a good Melina. Love the Malines.
Oh God, give me more Melina. I reread a think piece the other day of like Alfred Melina. He wasn't given enough to do. I'm like, well, no matter what, I agree. I would want him. What were we talking? Oh, so that's what I know about the Chippendales. Why were we talking about the Chippendales?
Magic Mike, and then we're talking about Mike. Tim Meadows being kind of built and objectifying men.
Wow, 6 degrees, the real
yeah.
thing.
While we're still talking about male strippers, I'd like to shout out one of my top favorite movies of all time, The Full Monty.
Oh, well, that was
Love
a musical too, starring Patrick Wilson.
I actually saw
Yes.
I saw like the off-Broadway version of it in State College, Pennsylvania, where I did go to college to get one of my 2 degrees in film.
Oh my God.
I hate bringing it up. I really don't like to be the one to mention that I do have a master's degree in screenwriting, but, you know, sometimes someone just
So you're like the most qualified person to talk about this movie.
Absolutely not.
No, you are. We never do our degree check-in anymore, but I still just have
people whose favorite podcast
it's in public
is
radio.
The
you have a degree in public radio?
Yeah, I went to Emerson and they let you do that there.
That's very cool.
It was fun, yeah. I didn't end up actually doing it, but it was fun.
I have a BFA in TV writing.
Yeah.
So I have a degree, but like not...
Not two
it's
degrees.
Not all, yeah, not two degrees.
Has anyone seen Hard Candy with Patrick Wilson?
Yes.
I love that movie so much. I saw that movie for the first time with
my dad.
It's
a hard movie to watch.
Yeah, because Patrick Wilson gets fucking castrated. Uh-huh. Like it's
that's why it's hard to watch. He's also a pedophile.
He's a pedophile, but also Ellen Page. I don't know. I think because of Ellen
I have
Page's
an equally big crush on Ellen Page, and like I did, mm-hmm. like we. I don't know how old she is in that movie, but just in life, Ellen Page.
I just remember being fucking like floored by him. Like she's cutting off his dick, and my dad's sitting right there. This is like,
why did your dad
ever
take you to see Hard Candy?
We watched it together on IFC.
Why?
I don't know. I do not know. Could not tell you.
First of all, shout out to IFC. Second, why did you guys screen this when Jamie and her dad watched it?
Well, I think I like walked in on... My dad went through a real indie film phase, which I think was... He was just like, well, this is where they showed breasts on television.
My dad's only ever gone through a James Bond phase. And
really?
Movies about racing. My dad likes movies about race cars.
Race cars. My dad writes about race cars. He contains multitudes.
Really? That's my dad's like hobby. He's really into
really?
He drives race cars, yeah.
My dad he used to cover professional race car driving in New Hampshire. So
what?
I used to go with him
Would
when I was a kid.
Do you know what kind, what series or anything?
It was NASCAR and then it was also like
Indy
truck
racing?
Driving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that there was, I forget what her name was, but there was a female truck driver who I don't think ever was very famous, but she was like my hero when I was
That's
little.
That's so cool.
Because she was like this badass female pickup truck driver, and we'd go, and it'd be loud, and I'd be scared, but then I'd get to touch her hand, and it'd be exciting.
That's awesome.
Did you know once...
Women in trucks.
Raymond Bork kissed me.
You know somebody named Raymond Bork?
Yeah, he's a famous hockey player in the Boston Bruins. He's a legend.
That's what I would name a hockey player in a sketch.
Right? Raymond Bork.
Raymond Bork.
Raymond Bork. And then once when I was a baby, there's a picture of me kissing my little baby forehead. Mm-hmm. And then my dad was like, that was more important than her baptism. Raymond Bork, kiss my baby.
Your Borktism.
My Borktism. Oh, shout out to New England hockey fans. Anyways, yep. What are we talking about? What's the podcast
Who
about?
Who knows anymore?
I'm
Who
enjoying myself.
Knows.
We,
oh,
yeah,
it's
we both hard. Had a Mike's Harder.
It's the Mike's Harder.
I'm very sober right now.
But in regards to, I do like that they plant the idea in young women with this script that no one is just ever pure evil, and Regina George is given some depth as to, yes, she is horrible, and we see her do all this horrible stuff, but then you see her home life, and you see, I don't know, like when I saw this movie for the first time, the idea that a popular girl had insecurities was something that had truly never occurred to me. Mm. So in that way, I think that was... I think a positive thing for me of it doesn't justify the behavior in any way, but it also is just like, well, everyone has their things that they're concerned about, and no one is as perfect as they, whatever.
Sure. Yeah. I like that the main female characters outnumber the main male characters. Because
yeah.
If you're considering all the
shot,
people,
right?
Yeah, I mean, between Katie, Janice, Regina, Gretchen, Karen, and then like Miss Norberry we'll throw in there. Those are like the main women. And then you've also got like Regina's mom and Katie's mom. And then of the main male characters who like have the most screen time, it's really only Damien and Aaron Samuels.
A little bit of Kevin, a little bit of Dad.
Kevin, you've got, Shane Omen.
Principal.
Coach Carr, the principal. Like, but those are all more Coach secondary Carr. Or tertiary characters. So like...
We should say Coach Carr is... We're to assume a rapist.
Pedophile?
Yeah,
and rapist.
Yeah,
he's a rapist. Which is hard because they do not call that out, and that's like a weird little subplot that is like, wait a second, like there's a there's a Lifetime movie going on here, like, mm-hmm. where it's both racist and excusing a pedophile. That is one of the things that bothers me more about this mm-hmm. movie, is these two characters, they're basically treated as the same character, and they don't really speak English, so we never know, and they're just, like, catty girls who are being, you know, manipulated by the same pedophile, which is gross to me, because something like that happened in my high school by my middle school track coach. Fortunately, I was a little bit too young to be his type, but it's
somebody had like that too.
I don't know, like the way that very very tiny storyline is handled feels like normalizing that in a way that, like, that's never resolved, and it's almost like, you know, the coach looks silly, like, I've been caught. But the girls look silly too, and it's like, no, they're the victims of this grown man who has the really funny scene about don't have sex.
Right, exactly. But they're like, look at the hilarious irony where he's the guy who's like, never have sex or you'll die,
and he's raping sex children.
Yeah.
So that is that's one of maybe my least favorite part of this movie, because at least most of the storylines are problematic, but at least handled with a fair amount of humor and irony. But that one is pretty much just used as a joke.
Yeah.
Down to the Tim Meadows line of, like, step away from the teenage girls, coach mm-hmm. car. And it's just like, he's a rapist. Like,
yeah. Yep. There's that.
So throughout this, we're given the backstory that Janice Ian was teased, and she's constantly being called a lesbian and a dyke and all this stuff. And then her moment of redemption is when she's standing in the gym scene where she's like, I guess it's because I have a big lesbian crush on you. So where it lands is being a lesbian is still, like, not good. And Janice, it turns out, which, you know, is not a big deal, but she is not a lesbian, or she's... You know, we're never given the exact story, but the way that subject is left is she treats being called a lesbian very sarcastically, right. And it's an insult the way it's...
Because every time Damien's like, oh, this is why she hates Regina George so much, because she spread this rumor in eighth grade about... And then she's like, no, don't say it! Like, the idea of, like, anyone might thinking that she is a lesbian is horrifying to her.
This is Bush administration, where that truly could have made... You know, it made people social. It made me a social pariah briefly of, like, wait, she might be a lesbian? What? You know? And it's bad.
Does anyone have any final thoughts about the movie?
I still like it. I know that it hasn't aged well in all respects, but I still like it.
It's still entertaining.
Yeah.
Does it pass the Bechdel test?
Sure does.
Yes, it does.
Sure does.
There are a lot of scenes where women are talking about a man, but there's a lot of scenes where they're not. Janice and Katie talk about other women. They talk about the plastics a lot. They talk about Regina George a lot. They talk about, but then they also talk about, like, friendship and you know, things like that. Katie and Ms. Norberry talk about math. The plastics talk to each
almost
other.
It sounds almost like a jokey pass of the Bechdel test.
Yeah. The plastics talk to each other about, you know, clothes, about their bodies and how they're ashamed of them to some degree, things like that. So plenty of scenes where the movie passes the Bechdel test. So, hey, that's cool.
Yes.
We can rate the movie on our nipple scale.
Let's do it.
We have a scale 0 to 5 nipples where we rate the movie based on its portrayal of women.
I'm going to give it 3.5 nipples for the reason that I think that it's a, you know, it is not the feminist Bible. It's a good place to start for young girls, particularly girls growing up at this very specific time. I think that it started a lot of important conversations, even though it didn't handle everything perfectly. Just seeing a major Hollywood movie with mostly female leads is important. Does not do great with race. This is not a very diverse movie. It certainly has its shortcomings, but by and large, for your average teenage girl, I think it is a good place to start, and it is a good movie to be in the world, and it also makes me laugh a lot. So I'll give it 3.5 nipples. Two of them belong to Miss Norberry. One belongs to Tim Meadows, the one you can see poking through in the gym scene. And then the last half belongs to Anna Gasteyer, because I love her.
Yeah.
I don't get to see her enough in movies. Mm. So.
I think I'll skew down a bit and I'll give it 3 nipples because while they all sort of redeem themselves at the end, it's just a movie of like 90 minutes of you're a slut, you're a whore, I'm a whore, we're all shitty and you're a bitch and I'm a bitch and bitches and just like a lot of just women mistreating each other. And I know the point of the movie is to be like, don't be like this, but I don't know. I think if this movie was remade or a similar movie was made today, I would hope that it handles a lot of the things that this movie does not handle well. I would hope that it handles those things better. So, hey, I'm looking forward to that movie. Maybe I'll write it. Maybe I'll use my master's degree in screenwriting for good for once in my
use it for good
life.
You use it for good all the time.
Oh, thanks.
Every time we turn on the mic. Oh.
And every time we open a mic's hard.
Ha!
Woo!
True.
And so, yeah, 3 nipples. 2 of them belong to Aaron Samuels.
Wow.
Who I looked up on Twitter and I was like, man, this guy is still cute. So good for him.
Not surprised. He seemed like a lifer.
Right. And then the 3rd nipple, I'm going to give to Damien. Because
love Damien.
I will say that I liked that he and Janice wear the same like purple tuxedo. I like that she sort of subverts.
Oh yes.
The typical. Oh, I'm a woman. I have to wear a dress. No, she's gonna wear a tuxedo.
Man, when Damien sings "Beautiful," that is a great moment.
And he pelts the shoe back at them. And then he gets a shoe thrown at him, and then he wails it right back at the guy. Oh, the other thing I like about this movie that I noticed is that the reason that they move from Africa to Evanston is that it's her mom who gets tenure at Northwestern. Not her dad, her mom.
Oh, I forgot that detail.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very quick, easy to overlook.
And if we're
detail.
Talking beta males.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, Katie's dad was with that great
line
about being
started
grounded.
A podcast called Talking Beta Males, where it's always 2 women and there's a man sitting there, but he doesn't talk.
But he doesn't. Or he's
like
allowed
on
to pipe
mic,
in.
But he can barely talk, yeah.
Right. And you're just like, you may. No? Totally fine. We'll just keep going.
I turn to Kish and go, you may
hang
speak
in.
Now.
Yeah. Hang in. Yeah. You may speak. Do you have
That's our podcast whenever we have a male guest. We only allow them to speak whenever we remove the muzzle from their face.
Right, right, right. Very steampunky kind of muzzle. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No. Okay. Oh, just episode reminder. Steampunk. No. No. No steampunk. We don't tolerate steampunk here.
Yeah.
The final prejudice stands. No steampunk.
Jenny, would you like to rate the movie?
Well, the thing is, like, I really, like, I don't think I can be objective in any way. I love this movie, and it's, like, it's also, like, we didn't even talk about what kind of a cultural touchstone it's been as far as, like, Mean Girls quotes, like,
oh, it's
are a defining characteristic
quotable
of
movie.
Meme Factory.
And here's what I'll say. I don't know that this is a great portrayal of women, but I think that this is a great portrayal of white wealthy suburban teenagers in the Bush era. This right. is a very faithful portrayal of that specific kind of woman.
Mm-hmm. If but we see so much of that.
If we're just
Let's
talking about
else.
That, then it's 5 stars or 5 nipples. Mm-hmm. For now, it's like 2 nipples, and that's all I think this movie is. But yeah, it is not diverse. Mm-hmm. It is not particularly sensitive about women's issues. But it, you know, we have over a decade of other movies that have been made because and in the wake of Mean Girls. And we have over a decade of feminist media that's been made kind of in the wake of Mean Girls. This was at the time a really important and groundbreaking movie mm-hmm. because we did start, I feel like, having conversations about like the genuine complicated feelings of teenage girls.
Well, yeah, we're like
only
both of us.
Recently.
That was like the context we were brought into the movie of like. Starting a discussion with teenagers and their mom, like no matter
because like there were a lot of teenage movies before that, but I think a lot of them were like dudes trying to fuck in high school, and like there just wasn't a lot of movies about like girl on girl bullying until
right.
this movie. Like that did seem like Heathers was the other one, but Heathers has a whole other set of things going on. Heathers is very unrealistic, and I felt like Mean Girls was kind of a movie that did
more
speak
grounded.
To me.
I feel like the generation after us will be able to see Mean Girls clearly and have more. The way that I feel able to separate myself from Heathers, someone a generation after me will be able to separate themselves from Mean Girls. But it's too embedded mm-hmm. in.
I feel
kind me.
Of that way about Clueless too, where it's like I'm sure if I could step back from it, I'd find things to dislike. But as is, I think it's
Right.
A literally perfect film. Clueless is literally perfect.
Hey, listen to that episode of ours, I guess.
Had you guys not already done it, that is 1,000%. Because yeah. I can recite that movie, and that's a thing
really?
I can only do with one movie. Yeah. I know what you're thinking is, it's like an Axioma commercial or what, but I actually have a way normal life for a teenage girl. I mean, I get up and I pick on my school clothes. Daddy's a litigator. Those are the
keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Keep it rolling.
Even Lucy, our maid, is terrified of him.
No.
He gets paid $500 an hour to fight with people, but he fights for me for free because I'm his daughter.
That sounds right.
Yep. This is impressive.
That sounds right. Caitlin can do that with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
Really?
Embarrassed to admit. I can do that with probably 15 different movies. Back to the Future being one of them.
I can do that with The Jinx.
The Jinx.
With the Robert Durst documentary?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
People don't like it when you shave your eyebrows. You look weird.
End of episode.
Well, we're all friends now.
We did it.
And we're not mean girls to each other. We're nice.
You guys are
maybe
delightful.
Maybe it's because we're all in our 20s. All of us. None of us are about to be 31. It's just we're all...
Caitlin's triggering herself.
You're going
to
be okay.
No, I actually am very proud to be almost 31 because as a woman of advancing years, I feel great about it.
You're 31 is not advancing.
A woman of advancing years. You're a badass person and you're great.
Thank you.
You don't need to call yourself advancing.
I mean, they're advancing.
You are. I mean, you're advancing. And
we're all advancing.
We're all advancing in our ways.
Yes.
I'm 14 years old, and I feel great about it.
You're doing so well for a 14-year-old.
I'm so excited to be born.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. Anything
Thank
we would
you.
Like to plug? Or is
Where
there...
can we find you?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter @JennyJaffe.
Perfect.
We will.
Thank,
cool.
you.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.